this is not necessarily a happy message, so to speak. It is a message for us to make sure we are adjusting the way where we need to be. So we're going to start. I'm going to start off with a lot of background. Let me just give you the title. The title is called The Ninth Hour. The Ninth Hour. I'm going to give you a lot of background for what this means, because we don't use this terminology, but Scripture does. Scripture uses it a lot. And then later on in the sermon, I will make a connection that will probably give you some clarity or some extra clarity. Number one, y'all good class, so y'all already gonna know where we're going. But I'm gonna try to make sure I'm making it plain. All right, so let's just give us some background. We'll throw this up here. In Jewish tradition, the day starts at sunset. Biblical hours divide daylight into 12 parts, so the ninth hour is roughly 3 p.m., a significant time for prayer or dementia and miracles. So a lot of times when you see in Scripture the ninth hour, that is 3 p.m. For us, that is afternoon or the ending of school. But for them, it is close to the ending of the day, because the new day, the day actually ends at sunset. And then the night hours, that's really another day. It's kind of different the way they lay it out. So the 12th hour marks sunset, signaling the end of the day and the beginning of the new one, or the evening watch. So there's two watches. These hours aren't fixed clock times, but relative to sunrise, sunset, marking key prayer times and temple events. And so when you're reading Scripture, you will see the third hour of the day, the ninth hour. You will see these things. Like, well, I'll tell you that later in just a minute. So I want to flash this up here first. So first hour is sunrise. Third hour is 9 a.m. And this is what I was going to say. Do you remember Peter on the day of Pentecost, and the people were saying, y'all are drunk? And he said, oh, we're not drunk, because it's only the third hour of the day. It's too early for us to be drunk, meaning it was 9 a.m. So the third hour is 9 a.m. The sixth hour is noon. The ninth hour is 3 p.m. And the 12th hour is sunset. So that is the finality. So that means that the ninth hour is the last set of hours before the sun sets. In other words, whatever you need to get taken care of, you need to do it in the ninth hour. Because when sunset comes, the change has already happened. In other words, if you wait till sunset, it's already too late. So the ninth hour becomes very, very important. So let me fast forward and just drop this on you. We are moving toward a sunset. I don't know when the sunset is coming. I don't know what the sunset will look like. But what I do know is right now is the time to be prepared for whatever is going to come. Just on yesterday, there was a strike from America on the Venezuelan president. We don't know everything, and I'm not here to scrutinize it. I don't know. I do know they hold a lot of oil. I don't know if that's the reason why it was done. They say it was done over drugs. It's hard to believe anything the politicians do nowadays. But one thing about it is somebody can make a decision in an office, and the next thing you know, 18-year-old young men have to go fight some war. So this is not the season to be playing with the things of God, because we don't know when the sunset is. We don't know when the sunset will come. There are so many people that in the first Sunday of 2025, they were alive. But by the first Sunday of 2026, they are no longer here. So you never know when the sunset is going to show up. So the ninth hour becomes very important, because once you begin to understand that things are happening at a rapid pace, you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, am I ready for whatever is going to come? Not just in the realm of the spirit, but in the realm of life. just in case do I have life insurance. Just in case do I have car insurance. Just in case am I up to debt in my eyeball, all the way up to my eyeballs, to where if something happens to me, everybody's going to be crying, not just because the funeral, but because of the position I left them in. Have I done what I need to do to be ready? Questions we have to ask ourselves. Let's go back to the background. Some significant biblical events that happened in the ninth hour. So here's the first one that's very important. The evening sacrifice of a lamb without blemish along with grain and wine for atonement of daily sins. That was something that was done daily, and it was called the evening sacrifice. Even though it happened at 3 p.m., for them that was the evening because the sun was going to set. And so they brought a lamb without blemish, and that was for the daily sins. So every day there was a lamb that was supposed to be killed to atone for their sins. And bread and wine, or grain and wine, was brought as well. So I'll make a connection here in just a minute. So let's move on. Old Testament prophets such as Elijah on Mount Carmel and Daniel in Babylon offered significant prayers that were answered by God in the ninth hour. So when Elijah called fire down from heaven, that happened in the ninth hour. When Daniel was challenged with the lion's den, whether he would pray or not, he prayed at the ninth hour. So the ninth hour is very important. But for us, it's symbolic. Let's look at this. This is very important. The death of Jesus Christ, according to the Gospels, Jesus died on the cross at the ninth hour. After a period of supernatural darkness covered the land from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. So from noon to 3 p.m., it was totally dark. And if you look at what an eclipse looks like, actually, we just seen one just not too long ago where there was an eclipse and the whole land went dark, even though it was light. That happened, but Jesus died in the ninth hour. So the connection with the evening sacrifice is they were supposed to bring a lamb without blemish. They were supposed to bring grain and wine, and they were supposed to present it for their sins in the ninth hour at the evening sacrifice. So when God put Jesus on the cross, the scripture called him the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was the spotless, sinless lamb. And so when he got up on the cross in the ninth hour, he was atoning for all the sins. Well, Pastor, what does that have to do with the grain and the wine? Well, when we take communion and just a few minutes later, it's the same thing. We are recognizing the body and the blood of the Lord. So in the evening sacrifice, they were preparing for Jesus and they didn't even know it. God was already preparing. So the question I ask for us, what God is calling for you to do, even though you cannot see why, maybe it's more important than you know. Now, I'm going to come out of the time for a second because this time doesn't relate to us. But for us, the ninth hour is not just 3 p.m. It's whatever God is stirring up in you that won't let you go. If you keep waking up at 2:30 a.m. every single day, that's a ninth hour moment. God is trying to say something to you. He's trying to do something with you. You need to figure it out, study it, because there's something on the other side that is invisible that you cannot see, but you're preparing for something. So what I'm asking for us, Deliver Simple, in this season, what God is saying in this season, let's no longer be spiritual dodos, spiritually dead. We got to pick up on the signs, pick up on the senses, pick up on what is going on. What is God saying? It comes in many ways. Sometimes it'll come in names. Sometimes it'll come in numbers. All last year, I kept seeing 444 all year long. I would look up at the clock and it was 444, or my receipt would say 444. So I begin to study it out. What does that mean? And it actually pulls into other spiritual things that they call angel numbers that gets into New Age. But I'm saying, God, what are you saying to me, there are signs that God has been sending you, and 2026 is the time to figure out what God is saying. Because what he's saying many times is for preparation. It's for what's getting ready to come. That's why some people can handle the storm, because they've already prepared. Now, my mother, whenever the power goes out, she's never without some type of resource, whether it's a candle, whether it's a lantern, because when times are good, she stocks up on all that stuff. One day she asked me to come and bring her water in and take it to her garage, and she had so many cases of water. I said, you got enough to make the ark flow. What is all this water? I said, Noah and all the animals gonna be okay. She said, I'm being prepared. And one time we ran out of water and I had to call Mama, do you have a case of water? And she laughed at me. She said, oh, you was making fun of me. But in other words, what she's saying, her wisdom and her age says, prepare right now. Oh, God, why didn't you tell me? He don't have to tell you everything. He sends signals. He sends signs. He sends unction. Somebody said, I had an unction. He sends unctions. And you've got to learn how to grab hold to what he's saying. Sometimes you got to stop and study. Figure it out. You got to ask questions, because it's very important. What is your ninth hour moment? All right. Let's add just a few more things before we move on. The healing of the lame man. The apostles Peter and John went to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, where Peter miraculously healed a man who had been lame from birth. This was the first apostolic miracle after Pentecost, and it happened again on the ninth hour. But what's important, it was an hour to pray. They came at a specific hour. I love moving through my spiritual life randomly, but sometimes you're gonna have to get a routine and stick to a routine. Sometimes you're gonna have to have a secret place with God, a secret time, a routine, a structure. Sometimes things need to be structured. This is what, I can't really say it in a better way, so let me say it this way, and then I'll say a better way. Sex therapists or intimacy therapists, this is what they say for marriages. Sometimes to get a marriage intimacy to work right, they say you need to schedule your times of intimacy. We believe in random spontaneity and love, but sometimes when you in heat, she ain't in heat. When she hot and bothered, you ain't hot and bothered. So what those therapists says, you're going to have to actually schedule it. Let me come out of the intimacy, and just many times even in relationships, in marital relationships, they will say you need to start scheduling dates again. You need to start dating your spouse again, because what it took to get her or get him is what it took to keep her or keep him. But in the rat race of life, so many things are going on. The kids got to go here. I got to be here. The job's got to do this. And what will happen is the relationship will get on the back burner, and you have to have some intentionality to get it back right. If it works with human relationships, what do you think it works? How do you think it works with your spiritual relationship? Well, yeah, I'm going to read when I get around to it. I'm going to pray when I get around to it. It'll be April before you get around to it. So some of y'all are going to have to set a routine. I'm going to do at least for the first week or so. I'm going at 3 o'clock is going to be my hour to pray, or my hour to read, my hour to meditate. Your mental state cannot handle another year like you have had. You're going to have to make some adjustments. Ninth hour mentality. All right, let's move on. Cornelius' vision. A Roman centurion named Cornelius, a devout man, had a vision of an angel of God at the ninth hour, which led to the pivotal event of the gospel being opened to the Gentiles. So many things happening in the ninth hour. Look at Romans 13, 11 through 14. I'm going to read this. It says this. This is all the more urgent. If there's any word that you hear today, it's the word urgency. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Now, what's interesting is normally when you hear a message like this, it has attached to it a level of fear. In other words, wake up, because God's going to get you. But the scripture doesn't say that. The scripture says, actually, your deliverance is coming. The thing you prayed for is coming. Your blessing is coming. But here's the thing. If you're not prepared, the blessing will skip right over you. And here's the thing about God. He's not obligated, even though he often does, he's not obligated to bring you an opportunity a second time around. He will, because he's a God of a second chance. But I want to warn some of y'all, this is not the year to miss opportunities, because some opportunities will come and they will go. And if you are not where you need to be mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, the opportunity will be blown. Be gone. Be over. Ask somebody who is very talented and went to American Idol. Everybody told them they was talented, but that particular day, their voice cracked. Their voice didn't do what it was supposed to do. Baby, you can't get no golden ticket. I know you may have been good yesterday. You may have been good last year, but right now you're failing. Right now you're flunking. I cannot give you an opportunity. This is not the season. Oh, I was saved yesterday. I'll be okay today. No, every day is going to require brand new grace, brand new anointing, fresh wind, fresh fire. It's the ninth hour, so it's vitally important. Verse 12. It digs even deeper. Verse 12 says, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. When you are a church like us that preaches the true gospel, which is the gospel of grace says that grace will carry you when you are making mistakes. Grace will pick you up. But we cannot forget scriptures like this that says, start taking off some of those dirty deeds. Start taking off some of those dirty ideas, dirty mentality. Yeah, I know this is deliverance simple, and we live our vision every day, and we LOV love, but we all don't love. I love Andre, and I love Devin. But I can do without the rest of y'all, where you're not going to be able to function, because God says some of those dirty deeds are going to have to be taken off. And here's the problem with a lot of us saints. The issue is everybody but us. Sometimes you're going to have to, I tell this story. This is a perfect time to tell the story. It was over in that old sanctuary. Actually not the old sanctuary. We were in the fellowship hall. After the sanctuary was torn down, so it was not the best of times. The spirit was high, but we had a kerosene heater. It just wasn't top notch, but we was doing what we had to do at the time. And there was a bathroom up, and so sometimes the smells of the bathroom would leak into where we was. It wasn't the best of times. So I come in one Sunday, and I come to the back of the church, and it just smelled a little musty. And knowing my father, he had always reached out to homeless people. And I'm like, one of these homeless folks that's in the back of the church, it's kind of funky. But here, I'm not going to have no bad attitude, because we're supposed to love. So I just gone up and got to the front of the church. And I noticed it was kind of musty in the front of the church. Musty in the back of church is the musty in the front of church. And I know y'all ain't never done this, but I pull one of these moves. And guess what? The musty person was me. I was looking for everybody else to be the problem, but I was the problem. I don't know if I forgot my deodorant. I don't know what was happening. I was dressed. I was looking good, but you couldn't have told me I was the problem. I was looking for somebody else. But I did a double check and found out that was the problem. Good thing I didn't tell nobody. Good thing I didn't open my mouth and talk about anybody. But sometimes you are the problem. Oh, but here's the thing. I was born at night, but not last night. So I scurried on into that bathroom, and the hand soap that was there, I put it up under my arm real quick and took some napkins, and I did what I could. It didn't make me perfect, but I was trying to adjust. When you realize the problem lies with you, stop pointing the finger to everybody else and start making the necessary adjustments. Even if you can't do everything you need to do, do what you can. Put off those dark deeds. Stop gossiping about everybody. Get out of everybody's business. Some of y'all need a nose job, not for this nose, for your nosiness, to get out of everybody's business and start spending time with the Lord. My daddy used to say it this way: it takes 6 months to worry about you and another 6 months to leave everybody else alone, and that'll cover you the whole year. All right, verse 13. Because, here's the reason why, because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling, or in jealousy. Well, Pastor Andre, when did he get out? Can I go to his party? No. No, you saved. There's some stuff you shouldn't be wanting to do, some places you shouldn't want to go. And when you are in some places, you ought to feel uncomfortable and want to leave. Deliver me from saints who can be anywhere, everywhere, and have no conviction, no bothering. Something ought to change. But let's go back to the verse real quick, because that's normal stuff. You know, we know we shouldn't be living wild, but look at this. It says, or in quarreling. Or jealousy. See, all the sexual promiscuity, that's hard to hide. But in church, what's easy to hide is your jealousy and your quarreling and you're just mad at everybody for every reason. We got to put that stuff off. Not because we're not, that makes us bad people, but it makes us not prepared in the ninth hour. The ninth hour is where we can fix our mustiness. The ninth hour is where we can start changing some things. The ninth hour, in other words, you got a chance to fix some stuff. That this is one of the reasons why they'll tell you if you're going to fly, they'll tell you to come early. Now, I'm not one of those come early people. I like to be right at the time. And so I almost got my family in trouble a couple of times. And so I've tried to do a little bit better. But let's say you're going overseas. If you just perhaps have left your passport at home, if you've left early enough, you can go back and get it and still make the flight. So sometimes the preparation, it actually benefits you. It's not for the airlines, it's for you. So God's saying, I'm giving you the ninth hour to get some stuff right. All right, yeah. Verse 14 says what? Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. In other words, when you, instead of going to Sheen every day and figure out what Sheen has, you need to figure out what can I put on so I will stop going after my evil desires all the time. Now, because you're human, some days you'll be pulled towards your evil desires, but you have to understand when it is a perpetual pattern and a cycle that is pulling you away from the presence of God. Because in the presence of God is the protection of God. And if you're consistently pulled away from the presence of God and the protection of God, if you cross over from the ninth hour into the sunset, then things happen that you cannot stop. All right, let's just give us some quick words that'll help us. These are all real important things, and you'll understand it. Time is winding up. The clock is ticking. The countdown has begun. The time is now. I feel it. I sense it. It's not that I haven't sensed it before, but I woke up with an extra heavy sense of this, like I hadn't felt in some time. 1 Peter 4:7 says this: the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. We were singing about how God can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. But this scripture says, for the sake of your prayers, be sober-minded. There are certain things that you just don't need. All right, let me tell myself for a second. It's not really a bad thing, but I had to make sure I let the person know. So they have what they call CBD gummies. And CBD gummies, it comes from the cannabis plant, but it takes out the THC. Some don't act like y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. But it takes out the THC, which is the part that gets you high. And so I had a pain that regular medicine wasn't getting, so I had looked up some stuff, and I come across CBD, my dude. So I went to one of these places, and I was thinking, I hope the saints don't see me going in this vape shop, but I'm going because I'm in some extra pain. And so I go in there, and I said, do you have any CBD gummies? They say, yeah, we have them here. I said, do you have it without the THC? They're like, no. He's like, well, if you're worried about your job drug testing, you, it will show up. I said, no, I don't want anything with that. I'm not in so much pain that I'm trying anything. And so guess what? I had to turn and leave because I'm not taking chances. I'm saved. I'm delivered. I want to live a life that's pleasing to God. So even though I'm willing to try some things, there's got to be some boundaries. There's got to be a line in the sand. Some stuff I won't cross. Some stuff I won't do. Some places I won't go. And it's not for my salvation. I'm already saved. But because I'm a king, I want to act like a king. So stop taking chances with just any and everything. And stop receiving pills from folk you really don't know. Somebody on my, no, I'm praying over stuff. I'm researching stuff. Because the devil is out there to trap, the trick, to make us look like a fool. So be careful, be sober, be wise, because it's the ninth hour. And for the sake of your prayers, 1 John 2:18 through 22 says this: dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. These people left our church. Ooh, wait a second. What did it say? Hold on. Let me read it again. These people left our churches, but they never really belong with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. Now, I didn't plan on going here, but not everybody that left Deliverance Temple was supposed to go. So don't follow everybody that's doing everything. If you're planted here and you're called here, don't let nothing shake you loose from what God has called you to. I don't care what somebody else does. I don't care what somebody else says. This is the place that God has chosen to bless me. It's not that you can't find good preaching somewhere else. It's not that you can't be stirred somewhere else. But if God has planted you here and you uproot yourself, you cannot be blessed not being where God has planted you. Let me just be real simple. If I pull up a rose from its rose bed and I put it on the concrete, I'd be a fool to expect it to grow like it grew where it was supposed to be planted at. And not just churches. The only reason why I'm bringing that up is because it came up in the scripture. But there are some relationships you've uprooted yourself from that you need to get back to. You need to say, I'm sorry, whatever it is. And sometimes it wasn't even your fault. But sometimes fix it because I need it. Have you ever had to attach yourself to somebody that you needed but you didn't always like? Yeah, your mama and your daddy, you didn't always like them, but you needed them. So sometimes you had to humble yourself and do what mama said, do what daddy says, because the blessing of God is tied to this. Pastor, sometimes you do it. There are things that I do that have nothing to do with my theological understanding. I'm trying to figure out a deep way to say it. Let me just say it really simple and plain. Sometimes when I ask us to go to a church and they don't want the women wearing pants, I ask y'all not to wear pants. It's not about a theological understanding. It's about understanding relationship. If I can go along to get along, why not do it? Some of us, we're so free and we're so smart, we act like we just got to do whatever we want to do. No, sometimes humble yourself just because. I don't always wear a robe because I don't like it, but when in seasons to wear a robe or in seasons to wear a clergy collar, I will do it. I will walk in it. I can preach in a sweatsuit, and I can preach in a suit, and I can preach in a robe, but I try to understand what God is calling for, and I try to walk into that. In this ninth hour, what is God calling for? Not too long ago, I just left my grandfather, and years ago, this reminds me of a story. Years ago, he went to a new place, a new church, and he had a gray suit that he was getting ready to pull out. And the Spirit said, no, wear your black suit. Now, he's on vacation, just happened to visit the church. And when he got there, all the men were in black suits. God knew it. So God had already told him. It wouldn't have been sin for him to wear the gray one, but God was trying to prepare him. You got to learn how to listen to what God says. And God, being the purveyor of the whole universe, he's no different from us. If you talk to a person and they don't listen, at some point you stop talking. God is the same way. If he keeps giving you unctions that you override, that you disagree with, that you don't listen to, he will stop talking. It's the ninth hour. Verse 20. But you are not like that, for the Holy One has given you his Spirit, and all of you know the truth. Verse 21, so I am writing to you not because you do not know the truth. I'm not writing to you because you're lazy, because you're not godly. I'm not preaching this to you because you've done something wrong, Deliverance Simple. I'm preaching this to you to say, keep on doing it. All right, let's go back to that same verse. So I am writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. Verse 22, and here it is. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ, anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. So I am warning you, I am sharing this with you, because as we move in this new year, some folk that you knew used to know God gonna have these new, weird, strange revelations. People that you respect and love going to be talking some off stuff. So I'm telling you right now, in the ninth hour, don't fall for the okey-doke. I don't care if you sold money to them back when you first got saved. Some folk you need to pull out of, pull your money back, stop supporting, because people change, things change, but God doesn't change. All right, 1 Chronicles 12:32. This is the, I'm going to turn the corner now. This is the premise of the whole sermon. Here it is. It's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. It says it's from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders. Everybody say leaders. Of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times, and they knew the best course for Israel to take. I want to say this to you, that lately I've been preaching not just to members. I'm trying to preach to leaders. I'm trying to raise you to think like a leader. All of you may not be on our staff, but I want you to think like leaders. And leaders have understanding of the times. They understand times. I tell Sister Jossie this, my goddaughter, I tell her that I diagnose atmospheres, and I've been trying to train her how to diagnose atmospheres. And so when I'm driving and I cross from Indiana to Ohio, I don't just look at I'm crossing a border. I'm trying to see what is the spiritual difference between Ohio
and Indiana. When I go from one room to the next, I'm trying to diagnose the atmosphere because different spirits have different regions and they rule in different ways. And if you don't understand it, you'll get caught and get thrown off. And that's why you'll go on vacation and have a bad time. You can spend all this money. You wonder why? Because it's a different spirit there. And you got to know how to diagnose. Oh, I know what this spirit is. And take authority over the spirit. You got to know when you're moving around people. You're not just moving around people. You're moving around spirits and demonic forces. And you got to be able to diagnose the atmosphere. There's a lady on my job, and she's the sweetest lady. I don't work with her. I don't know her name because she works on a different shift. So I only see her in passing. And she smiles and speaks, and she's just as sweet as she can be. But every time she smiles at me, my spirit says witch. Every single time. Because not every witch has a broom. Let me be honest. Most witches don't have brooms and hats and long noses. They look like regular folk. And she's sweet as she can be. But something in my spirit said, be careful. Watch. You got to learn how to die. You need to have an understanding of the times and the seasons that you're in. So you'll know. Some people smiling in your face is plotting behind your back. You need to know it. You need to sense it. You need to pick up on it. Understand, and then just put it in God's hands, like I told you on New Year's night. Just put it in God's hands, but don't be unaware is what I'm saying. It's the ninth hour. Pick up on it. You young men who are in college has all kinds of spirits. God doesn't just send you to college to get an education. He sends you there to be a light as well. So when you go, you let your light shine, because the atmosphere has to shift to you so you don't have to shift to the atmosphere. Where you're at fresh time, there's devils at fresh time. There's devils at Crew Car Wash. There's devils at MCL, and there's devils at Deliverance Temple. So you better watch and figure out what God is saying in this season. Don't be caught unaware. Oh, I feel that bishop anointing on me, yes. Here's the conclusion. I'm going to turn just a corner in the conclusion. Or they flash it up here. So, in this conclusion, I want to make a parallel. And here's the parallel. We're going from the ninth hour. I'm going to make a parallel that some of y'all can understand from the sports world, the ninth inning. In football and basketball, they have quarters. In college basketball, they have halves. But in baseball, they have innings. And the ninth inning is the last inning. And in innings, they have the top of the inning and the bottom of the inning, which means one team starts the top of the inning and the other team comes, and that's the bottom of the inning. So when someone says it's the bottom of the ninth inning, it's the last opportunity to change the dynamic. In other words, so if the score is 4-2 and I have two and we're in the last inning, that means I got to do something in this inning to either force it into extra innings or to win the game. So the ninth hour, basically what I'm saying, it's the ninth inning. I'm saying we got to do what we can do. See, in the first inning, you can feel things out. You can check things out. But in the ninth inning, you can't check things out. Now, here's another thing about baseball. Sometimes it's three outs. So it could be the bottom of the ninth, and it could be two outs, which means there's only one out left to go. So you're going to have to do whatever you can to even the score or to win. What I'm trying to tell you, Deliverance Temple, is the ninth inning. Just look at Muncie, Indiana. You can figure out it's the ninth inning. Things are happening, and it's been happening. I'm not trying to say it hasn't been happening, but I'm not trying to get us to go into 2026 and be so happy-go-lucky that we don't realize that there's a spirit of death here in Muncie. There's a spirit of foolishness here in Muncie. There's a spirit of keeping folk broken, Muncie, and this is the ninth inning, and we're going to have to make sure we are not lazy about this. So for the rest of the conclusion, I'm going to have a baseball type analogy, or mainly sports analogy as we close. So put this up here. Four things needed to secure victory when the game is on the line. When the game is on the line. And I'm trying to let you know the game is on the line. So I'm just going to go right back here. In baseball, they have what they call the dugout. And you sit in the dugout till it's your turn. But when it's your turn, you can't stay in the dugout. You got to step up. And there's a lot of saints, they want to win, but they still in the dugout. You're going to have to come out the dugout. Let me be serious. Some of y'all are going to have to get off the live stream and bring your hinds into the house of God so you can step up. I'm grateful for the live stream, but some of y'all done got too lazy with it. You got to get out of the dugout. It's time. It's the ninth hour. It's the ninth inning. You're going to have to step up. Step up. So the old saying, you got to step up to the plate. You can't hit the ball from the dugout. You can't win the boxing match and you're still in the corner. No, the bell has rung. You got to get out. So we're going to have to get active. And activity doesn't start on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Activity starts at home with you and the Lord. Let me tell you something. On December 31st, 2025, I finished my reading of the Bible, reading through in a year. So guess what? January 1, the last thing I wanted to do was read some more Bible. But I know from my own spirituality, that is the one discipline that has really elevated me, so my feelings don't matter. So January 1, I started reading again. And I started reading again. And do I get tired of reading? Yes. Do I sometimes space out when I'm reading? Yes. But I know this discipline helps me, so I do it. Every Sunday morning, I fast every Sunday morning that I'm preaching. Sometimes when Devin's cooking bacon for the kids, don't you think I want some of that bacon too? But my discipline calls me to do something that's higher, that's above. In other words, I'm stepping up.
I don't want to sound like I'm fussing. Just trying to preach. Ask Sister Kelly and Brother Brian. Ask them how it is to drive from Indianapolis and pass a whole bunch of churches to come here. Ask anybody. Ask Brother Will, who has to. I talk about how I got to preach and go to church. Go to work afterwards. He's got to go to work too. Ask him what it's like to be here before anybody comes, to open up the doors and then to make sure things are done. And then to check on Monday after he gets off work to make sure the trash is pulled down. Is that nice to do? No, it's not. Ask Brother Stebo when he comes in here and straightens out every chair. Is that nice to do? No, but the calling calls you to stuff higher. Oh, I got to start preaching now. Here's the thing. Let me lay down because can't nobody see me. This is the way some of y'all are. You ain't going to work unless you're seen. I'm only going to do stuff when folk can see me and can credit me. But real people who are stepping up, whether they see it or not, I'm committed to the cause because it's the ninth hour and it's the ninth inning and I'm trying to make a difference. I don't care if they give me credit. I don't care if they call my name. I don't care if I get an award. I know God sees me and that's all that matters because I'm stepping up. Oh, I could call a lot of y'all names out.
Because a lot of y'all have been stepping up. A lot of y'all have been giving. Let me call Stephen Mitchell. You're probably watching him and his wife watch all the time. Stephen gave some big gifts to Deliverance Temple and didn't have to. Sister Veronica gave big gifts to Deliverance Temple. But here's the thing. When you're committed, you're committed. Oh, my, my. So step up. Isaiah 6:8 says this. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me. Oh, I don't want to do it, but send me. I'm tired, but send me. I'm hurting, but send me. I'm grieving, but send me. Ask. Just ask. Ask Joyce. Ask Teresa. Ask Krista. Ask Doug. I'm just talking about a few of the folk who had to bury people unexpectedly. Just ask a few of people. Ask what it costs to come back to the house of God. I have people that we buried their loved ones here. And they tell me, Pastor, I love your church, but I can't come back. I just can't come back. I remember seeing my loved one here. And I just can't come back. I understand it. But my daddy sat there and watched me preach every single Sunday. And I'm still here. See, for me, it's not a choice to back out because I'm called. So I just step up to the plate. I'm not mad at anybody who can't press their way. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. All right, put this up here. I'm going to skip over the next verses after this, Brother Dylan. Make up in your mind that it's on me. It's on me. I'm taking initiative. I am going to step it up. Luke 4:16-21, I'm going to skip through those. It's just Jesus. The scripture says he found himself in the book and he told them this today is fulfilled in your hearing. And so you can look that up on your own time. Luke 4:16-21. So let's go to point number two. Now get in your stance. When you get out the dugout, step up to the plate, there's a certain stance that you have to take if you're really serious. Every sport has some type of stance. I'm going to try to see if I can demonstrate it. If I want the ball at the last second, watch this stance. What I don't do is this. No, I'm getting ready just in case. So when it comes to baseball, here's the baseball stance. You don't come like this. Ooh, that's a cute ladybug down there. Reminds me of Draylen. We had Draylen in T-ball when he was young. And I realized that sports wasn't going to be Draylen's thing. Because as everybody was lining up on the base, he was down there drawing circles around an ant. He ain't paying attention to nothing going on in the game. I'm like, Draylen, because I was helping coach. I was trying to be a good dad. And my son did not care. But some people are like that with the things of God. You're not even in the stance to win the game. Get ready. Put the bat up. Get ready. Golf. When you're golfing, there's a stance for golf. And what golfers do before they hit, they give a few practice swings. Some of y'all need some practice fast. I'm going to do a day here, a day there. Before I get into the next one, because I'm trying to accomplish something. Here's the thing. If you're not trying to accomplish anything, then stay the same. This message ain't for you. But if you want to make a major move in the ninth hour, listen to what I'm saying. So step up, get in your stance. All right, Matthew 24:44 says what? For this reason, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. I still appreciate Bishop Jakes, but I'm trying to let you know it's not a get ready, get ready. It's a be ready, be ready. Stay ready, stay ready. It's be already ready. All right? Here's this. This is the best way I can say it. This haphazard approach to life has to die in 2026. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Number three, here it is. You're going to have to swing. There's an old saying that you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You're going to have to swing. And so I got a quick acronym from swing. I want to put it up. Here it is. Seek God. Worship often. Intercede always. Give sacrificially. Seek God. Worship often. Intercede always. Give sacrificially. There's an old saying, swing for the fences. In other words, go all out. And many of y'all have been doing that. You've been swinging. But here's the thing about swinging. Sometimes you miss. Oh, but this is really what I first woke up. I woke up dreaming. I was on the stage here at Deliverance Temple, and I was teaching people how to hit a baseball. And what woke me up was the crack of the bat hitting the ball. I didn't even see how far the ball went. I just heard that, and I woke up, and then God just began to talk to me, and I knew this is where we were going. But I'm here to let you know, some of y'all about to hit some home runs. You done swung. You done struck out a few times. Oh, but you're not going to strike out forever. I can't remember his name, but he plays for the Dodgers, and they went to the championship, and he ended up becoming the MVP, not this year, but maybe a year or so ago. And he went into the playoffs on a slump, meaning he struck out a whole lot. Like in baseball, 300 batting average is good. He was down to like 100. But something happened in the playoffs, and every time he got up, he just kept hitting home runs. It was almost confusing to him. It shocked the announcers. He's not used to this. He's been in a slump. And this is what the demons are saying. She's been in a slump. I can't believe she hitting like this. I can't believe she done got hot like this. I can't believe how far the ball is going. Because when you keep swinging and you keep going for it, one day you're going to hit. Your business won't fail forever. Your marriage won't fail forever. You won't cry forever. But keep on swinging for the fences. Keep on swinging. Maybe one day you're going to knock it out the park. Oh, but one more thing that's very important. Put it up here. As we close, step out. Because the way baseball works, once you hit the ball, you still got to run. You can't hit and just look. You hit, but you still got to run. So I need you, after you swung, go ahead and launch out. I need you to step out into the deep. I need you to step out on the promises of God. Step out on the word of God. Step out on the faith of God. I need you to run. I need you to get yourself ready. Some of y'all about to win in this season. You're going to win. And one of the great things about baseball, when you hit, you don't have to run hard. You get to, it's called a victory lap. Oh, back in the old church, when somebody would get happy, they might just run around the church. Oh, yeah. Somebody about to have a victory lap. You about to step out because God's about to turn this thing around. He's working in your favor. Here's the final verse, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So here's the last four words of this sermon. So run to win. Run to win. This is the ninth hour, the ninth inning. So run to win. Closing. But when I was on the basketball team at Heritage Hall, the cheerleaders had a cheer. It says, you got to want it to win it, and we want it bad. You got to want it to win it, and we want it bad. You got to want it to win it, and we want it bad. Now, we was 0-15. We hadn't won nothing. But they were still cheering. You got to want it, to win it. And we want it back. I see the angels in heaven. They're standing at attention. You got to want it to win it. And we want it bad. You got to want it to win it. And we, how bad do you want it? If you want it bad enough, you're going to win in this season. You're not going to lose. Your children won't. They won't end up outside of God. But you got to want it to win it. You got to want it bad. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Oh, yeah. My God. Here's our confession. Let's say it together. Father God, in this new season, help us to understand the times. We rebuke spiritual apathy in our lives. Instead, help us to stay alert, stay ready, and stay poised for victory all year long. All year long. All year long. Let's come on. Let's grab our communion. All right. Going to our communion. Here it is. Go ahead and send the scripture up for me. And as they were eating, he took bread and after blessing it, broke it, gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. I just heard God say, this is the victory meal. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Let's drink. Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. God, I thank you for this ninth hour. It's time to prepare and make sure things are right for whatever the season next that may come. Whether it's a good season, a bad season, a rough season, happy season, sad season, it makes no difference. We will be well prepared and we will achieve and see victory no matter what the seasons do, because in this ninth hour, we will make sure we are prepared. And we thank you for it. We praise you. In Jesus' name, and let the people say, amen. God bless you. Have a great, wonderful, marvelous week.